A U.S. Supreme Court decision had banned segregated seating and interstate travel back in 1946, but segregation was still enforced on interstate buses in the South at the time of the Freedom Rides in 1961. The strategy of the Freedom Riders was to nonviolently force the issue, with black riders sitting in the front of buses traveling in southern states and whites sitting in the back.
If they had obeyed the law since 1866, we wouldn't have had a whole lot of things that happened in this country. But if you don't enforce the law, evil people will take over.
That's the Reverend Ben Cox, who was a 30-year-old African-American church pastor in North Carolina when he took part in the Freedom Rides. Ed Blankenheim, one of the white Freedom Riders, was a 28-year-old ex-Marine studying at the University of Arizona.
I think there were at least five of them over 50. There were only two students. They always refer to the young Freedom Riders, but we weren't young. We knew what the hell we were doing.
Opposition to the Freedom Riders was relatively mild in the Upper South, but that changed when the riders reached Alabama. On Mother's Day, one bus was stopped by a mob of about 200 angry whites outside of Anniston and firebombed. The Freedom Riders on board barely escaped with their lives. Meanwhile, other Freedom Riders on a second bus were attacked and beaten by a mob at the Birmingham bus station. Police stood by for 15 minutes before moving in to stop them. Blankenheim was on the bus attacked outside Anniston.
Yeah, it was the bus that was burned in Anniston, Alabama, yeah. And I was on it. And I was thinking I would rather be someplace else just then, but I was there.
We were told all the possibilities. And that's why we wrote a letter to our parents and mailed them, because we thought we might be killed. Yeah.
You were trained? You were given training involved in this as far as how to react nonviolently? Mm-hmm. Could you talk about that?
They were called sociodramas, and we used to do two or three a day, I guess. And it worked. Some of those sociodramas were so terrible. Oh, Lord. They were terrible. But it worked. Everybody knew what they were doing. There weren't any questions.
Can you give me an idea of what you tried to do and what you tried to avoid doing when you met with a hostile reaction, Ben?
If a Freedom Rider was being harassed and beaten, another Freedom Rider would fall on top of him to take some of the blows, and that helped out.
After the violence in Alabama, the bus lines and bus drivers didn't want to take the Freedom Riders any farther. The original 13 were forced to fly out of Birmingham. But other groups continued the Freedom Rides, and hundreds of volunteers braved beatings in jail. Later that year, the Interstate Commerce Commission, at the urging of the Kennedy administration, issued a ban on segregation at all interstate public facilities. In the 1970s, Ben Cox moved to Champaign-Urbana to teach school. He says he was surprised to learn that a member of the mob that attacked the Freedom Riders in Birmingham had also moved to the area.
There was a preacher right here in Champaign who was in that mob in Birmingham. And he pastored the Church of God here. And we have it on tape. The U of I did a tape on being the Freedom Rider. And they interviewed him, and he talked about it. He said, "We wouldn't wonder why in the world would they come down here and disturb our way of life, blah, 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 blah." He said, but he got converted. And now he's a promoter of the American dream.
Ben Cox now lives in Jackson, in his home state of Tennessee. Ed Blankenheim lives in San Francisco. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.